Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the latest episode of Rucking Around with myself, Zach, and Joe. So, Joe, first of all, we're just going to say how brilliant it was that Quinn's managed to bring rugby home back to its rightful place in Twickenham, and we got the job done against Exeter, which I would say 90% of the population or people who follow rugby would have said we got no chance. And you know what? It was a high scoring game, but we got the job done. And I knew. So this is, I'm vindicated, all right? All the haters out there, I told you so. All right, I know more about you, more about rugby than you. And also, Joe, I know more than you because you got it wrong as well. You were saying next to we're going to win. So I feel vindicated. But that's it, gloating over. I'm just glad we got the job done. And fair play to Exeter, actually, because they gave us a good run and they showed why they are one of the best teams in the Premiership for the way they scored literally in like 10 seconds after the kickoff, after we scored. So, yeah, credit to them. But to everyone that doubted us, F you. That's all I've got to say.
Yeah, it was an unbelievable game. Probably the best final I've ever seen. But probably because I'm biased and I wanted Quinns to win. Yeah. I'm still so in awe that in the Premiership you can win these games simply just by scoring more tries. And I hope that's the way rugby goes now. Mm-hmm. I hope that all rugby changes and goes that way, which in theory it should. If, you know, tackles are lower, mm-hmm. there's going to be less, or there's going to be more offloading, which means less rucks, which means quicker ball, which means you can play that game. And I really hope this is just the Quinns have sort of ushered in a new era now of playing, you know, the Quinns way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just pissed off I wasn't there. I've watched Quinns just have some of the most horrendous, terrible shit performances I've ever seen. And then the one season that they actually turn it on and they play some amazing rugby and end up winning it is the one season that we can't go to any games. Yeah. Well, apart from you're lucky enough to go to two. But like,
yeah.
you know, I've seen us get battered by Saris and Leicester in cold nights of November on a Friday. I remember seeing us beat Bath, like one of the last games I went to in Champions Cup, 15-6 on a like rainy night in December. But then, yeah, this year, the one they decided to turn it on and play the all-out Quinns rugby in the sun is the one that none of us can really go to. But yeah, c'est la vie, unbelievable game. Yeah, unbelievable side as well. Such a young team now.
Yeah,
I'd be interested to see how much longer DC and Marla go on for, because, I mean, talk about going off on a high.
Mm.
If I were Danny Kerr, I'd be like, you know what? Maybe I call it a day here.
You know, yeah.
I highly doubt that this was the year to do it. I don't know how well Quinns will do in the next few years. I think they'll obviously build, but the Premiership's going to get so much more competitive at the top. So, yeah, I'm just so happy for them. Mm. So happy for them. And for myself as well. I was crying my eyes out in the sports bar.
It was all over. It was an electric atmosphere, even though there was only 10,000 people there. It felt like a home game. Honestly, it just felt like
it is.
You know, but there was a home game, really. There was a fair few extra fans, but the... I mean, even like the chants, you know, like at halftime when I went down to get a beer, they were doing like, you know, the extra like chant, which is just like, you know, like that.
Yeah.
It was just Harlequins. It was just like Harlequin throughout the whole bars. And it was just like, you saw a few extra fans and they just looked a little bit like a rabbit in the headlights. Sort of, they just didn't really know what to do. And it was
try before half time was what made me think, all right, maybe we have a chance. Like, this is it. And then just scored six tries against Exeter.
Yeah, I think it was important that we were leading at half time as well, because, you know, look,
we were losing. It was 14-12, wasn't it?
No, we went in winning. Because Alex Donbrandt scored that try at the end, didn't he?
Yeah, but I swear if Marcus Smith missed conversion, it was 14-12.
No, we went in winning.
Or was it 19-14?
It was 19-14 to us. We're at half time. So I was pleased that we turned it around, because also we got that penalty try and yellow card. And
yeah, that was a bit harsh. I've got to say, like 5 minutes in.
Well, the ref was consistent though in that regard.
Yeah, he was.
I think, well, because in the letter of the law, if you know who's collapsed the mall, and we would have scored from that, if the referee knows or the assistant tells the referee who it was, then it's an automatic yellow card. They have to give a yellow card. And then it, you know, Marcus Smith, you know, he gave away a penalty or stopped a pretty much almost certain try. He went early, offside.
Yeah.
He scored. So, but obviously the referee saw it. So he's got to go as well. Yeah. But
he had a great game, to be fair.
Well, both teams, throughout. I think both teams did well with 14 men. Didn't really see him when Exeter went down. They actually were playing really, really nice.
To be fair.
Yeah, I mean,
Joe Martin at 10.
Yeah, I was gutted that he missed that conversion. It hit the post. Yeah. But I mean, it's a lot of pressure. He's not a kicker, and you know, he doesn't do it week in, week out. So I think it was a lot to ask, and I think maybe the pressure just got to him. But he had a fantastic game as well. All the tries, to score 6 tries against Exeter in a final as well. I mean, to score 6 tries in a final, that is in itself impressive, because we have seen quite tight finals in recent years, where it's not been the most expansive style of rugby. And I think Exeter had to kind of play into Quinn's style of play at sometimes, which I don't think they're too comfortable with at times. I think they wanted to,
yeah.
I think if it was raining, because we were looking at last week, and it was sort of indicating it might rain. Obviously, you know, weather changed in that time, and I think it's good that it stayed dry, because if it was a wet game, it's a totally different game, I think. Because
no, absolutely,
that will feed well into Exeter's hands. You saw their pitch not too long ago; it was an absolute bog. So they're used to playing in the rain and the mud. So yeah, thankfully, I think it helped us with our style of play and it allowed us to play attacking rugby, which I think, you know, this season has shown that no one else is really better at the moment. So yeah, it was a fantastic atmosphere. Don Brandt scoring it just before half time, I was so pleased. I thought, you know, that was just, Marcus Smith had just come on as well. The scrum was looking really, really good. Wilco Lowe scored an amazing try. I mean, I don't actually know how he managed to get through like 3 players and score.
Yeah. But
also, Sam Simmons did the same thing. Everyone thought, well, we were sitting, we were right in front of it. And everyone was like, when he tackled it, I think it was Jack Kenningham that tackled him. And everyone was like, oh, good hit. And then he was like turning around, like bounced out of it and scored. And we're like, what the hell? But yeah, that's just credit to how good he is. But yeah, to score 6 tries, I mean, come on, like in a final, Lewis Liner as well. I mean, special shout out to him. Fantastic season, even though, you know, he hasn't played a whole bunch of games, but start a final, I mean, come on, like he's 20, 21 years of age. I think he's got a bright, bright future ahead of him. And there's a composure he showed to score those 2 tries as well. Like, they're not easy. I like that little, you know, he does a little swan dive and he does the finger before. And I like that. It's like confidence, because he had a, I don't know if you saw it, but in the first half, he had a bit of a shocker, because I think Joe Simmons kicked it through and it was sort of a weird bounce, but then he got really close to the line. I think it was like maybe 10 metres out and he put his foot on the line and it was a bit of and then obviously Exeter got the ball. So it was a little bit of an error, and you could see, like, he knew he'd fucked up. But then, obviously, he didn't let him, you know, he sort of banished that out of his mind, because he ended up kind of winning us the game. So, I mean, what a great attitude as well. You know, strong mentality. Such a young player. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
So glad.
That I think it's
is a Quinn.
Really hopeful with what it being announced today that Tobias Matson be the new head coach of Quinn. So, you know, he was he's in the last 3 years, he's been the Crusaders attack coach.
Yeah.
I think he's been there. I think he's from Canterbury. But yeah, he was like assistant coach in Canterbury for a number of years. Mm-hmm. And then he went to Crusaders as assistant coach, then Fiji attack coach. He was in at Bath for a bit, and then back at Chiefs as an assistant coach there. So, yeah, he's like an attacking-minded. He's an all-black. Played for the Crusaders. Played for Canterbury. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, he just brings in, you know, structure in order for us to play the game we want to play, because that's really all we need. When you look at the coaching setup now, they're clearly tried and tested. We've got Nick Evans in attack. Tobias Mattsson, I assume, will know Nick Evans fairly well. Both Kiwis will have similar game plan and approach to the game. Got Jerry Flannery, defence and line-out, which has both been unbelievable so far. And Adam Jones as forward and scrum coach, which, again, when it mattered in the final, line-out was solid. Scrum was unbelievable. Yeah. Got a couple of scrum penalties against like the team who have the best scrum in the league and the best pack in the league. So, yeah, hopefully it's onwards and upwards for Quinns. I mean, there's no reason why they shouldn't continue to do this. As we said earlier, you know, hopefully they can lead the way for the way the game can be played now and just all-out attacking brand of rugby. I just wonder how well that will go, you know, in a cold night in November, December. Because you do have to have that variety in your game. You know, you can summer rugby, obviously, you want to see that all the time, but you know, when it's pissing it down in bloody Newcastle on a cold, you know, Saturday afternoon or whatever, you can't unfortunately play that game. You have to play a bit more conservative, but they can, you know, I think good signings we've made as well. You know, Allen and
Tomas Allen, the fly half, and then brought in someone. The name escapes me, but I think we'll hopefully bring in some more. But
definitely.
Yeah, just quick a little story there about on the final. So we were just before the game. We were me and mate John. We were waiting to be served, and this lady started chanting. And I was just like having a bit of a laugh with them. I said, "Oh, is it your first time here?" and sort of thing. She was like, "No, I've been here loads of times." I was like, "Oh, how come?" She's like, "Nick Evans is my husband." I'm his wife, Sally. So like something behind, and I was like, "Oh my god, I love him so much! Like he's a legend." She ended up buying me and my friend John a pint, which was really, really.
Oh, that's cool. Brilliant.
So, but yeah, it was, you know, it's just so weird. And she was really nice. So if she ever listens to this, or Nick Evans, which they won't, but thank you very much. That cider went down a treat.
That's quality.
Yeah, but back on to so new coach. Yeah, I've seen a little. I won't pretend I don't actually know, you know, him extensively, but obviously know the Crusaders, follow Super Rugby a bit. So, you know, Crusaders have been top dogs for quite a while. Consistently won like Super Rugby and stuff over the years, so I'm sure he'll come with a wealth of experience. Obviously, having another Kiwi in Nick Evans, I think that will help. And the Crusaders,
you've got that special partnership between the New Zealand and the Harlequins now. I don't know if you've seen, like,
they played the Maori All Blacks, didn't they?
Yeah, and like Sean Fitzpatrick sits on the board of Quins as well as Scarlets, and they both. I've read on both clubs' like websites speaking about the special relationship between Quins and New Zealand rugby, and obviously Scarlets and New Zealand rugby. And that's why, like, I know Brad Moore was at the Scarlets head coach, and then he went to the All Blacks job. Same thing with like Blade Thompson; he was at the Hurricanes, went to Scarlets. Same thing with Quins. You know, Nick Evans, like arguably the greatest import player the Premiership ever had. Same with that young Kiwi scrum half we signed, you know. So hopefully, you know, if they could sign a few more Kiwis, that'd be brilliant, because of the way we want to play is essentially the way New Zealand play, in that really all-out expansive rugby. Yeah. But yeah. Anything else you wanted to say about the Quins game before we move on to Lions?
Just wanted to say, obviously, after the game, the coaches were giving the talks after, and I thought, what's his name, the ex-coach Steve Baxter. Is it Steve Baxter?
Rob Baxter, sorry.
I thought he spoke really, really well after, very humble in defeat. And it was just a nice end to it, because I watched it when I got home and stuff, and it was a really tight game. But, you know, he said, I kind of don't want to talk about what we didn't do right. Quins deserve to win, and it should be about them. So I thought he was very gracious in defeat. But also, yeah, just just congratulations to Exeter as well, because they played some really nice stuff during the year. And they gave us, I think they obviously they were part of a, probably one of the best finals in.
Just going to have to play a wee bit better if you want to beat the Mighty Quins.
Well, exactly. But I think I don't, even for the neutral, I think, you know, I've got Leicester fans and stuff. I think.
Oh, yeah. Consecutive finals speaks for itself. Like, yeah. That's the most insane achievement and stat.
I think everyone would
only
agree.
Only won three of them. But,
one of the best finals, though, in ages. You know, it's sort of such a high scoring game, 38-40 for a final. It's not like, you know, a really tight game. If it was 15-12 or something, or 5-0 or something, it would just been, you know, wouldn't have grabbed the headlights as much, I don't think. But yeah, Marcus Smith as well, what a player. And just actually,
mate, Marlo.
Oh, Marlo as well. I think he got man of the match, didn't he?
The best loose head in the world at the moment. And I don't think it's not even close with anyone.
No.
Oh, good.
He should be in the Lions, but I think, you know, I don't think he should. He would have gone maybe.
I don't think he wants to. Like, and I completely understand that.
He just had another kid. And
yeah, exactly.
Moving on to Lions now. Actually, just before that, I just saw before we came online, Dom Brandt, Kenningham, Smith,
and
Marchand are in the England squad, which I knew they would be, but I think that's really
no
cool.
Joe Simmons in there as well. No Joe Simmons.
Yeah, they've gone for Umaga as well, which I don't know. Yeah. I think maybe the future is Simmons. Smith and Simmons, not Umaga. I think he showed that he's bottled it a lot this season.
What?
Obviously, I think he's a good player, I think, but he's shown, I've seen in multiple games where he's got like yellow cards and just like bottled it and like knock on.
He's so raw. He's like a raw talent, whereas Simmons is not only is he proven 10, but he's captain of Exeter. Like, I know they, you know, you could argue they bottled it twice this year as well in Europe and in the Premiership, but like, that's at the highest level. Umaga's bottling it when Wasps play Worcester by the 8th-12th. Like, you know, and Simmons, I just think Simmons is such a better player. Like, I really don't understand how he's not in there, but.
No.
Who the fuck knows? I don't try and pretend I know Eddie Jones. Yeah, well,
he'll have his reasons, I'm sure. But I mean, I'm sure Marcus Smith will be starting. But yeah,
100%.
Dom
Brandt as well.
Yeah, him and Dom Brandt. I mean, imagine like back row Ben Curry, Kenningham, and Dom Brandt. Like, that would be pretty sick.
Yeah.
Or Lewis Ludlow for Ben Curry. Well, I think, you know, Kenningham is an out number seven. Which I think England have had with Sam Underhill, but obviously he's coming back from injury. He's in the squad, so I mean, I would maybe expect Underhill to start and Kenningham to be on the bench, maybe. Maybe he is like sort of the next Sam Underhill, because I think we didn't really have an out and out seven. We had Robshaw, which like was famously known as like a sort of a 6.5.
Now you've got plenty of sevens now. You've got a stupid amount.
So,
but yeah, anyway, it's Lions time now.
Yeah, Lions this time. I watched a little bit of the game.
Have you not even seen the whole game?
No, I've seen the highlights. I've seen the highlights, but I was just too. I was focused on the Quins game, mate, to be honest. And I just couldn't. I was getting ready. It was on in the background, but I just couldn't fully focus on it. So you're going to have to lead. I obviously know
fair enough.
There's some big headlines, but you might want to talk this one through a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I guess, we'll start off with... devastating news. But Alan Warren-Jones out the whole tour. So, that's, pretty mental. Conor Murray, the new captain. Which, to be honest, I think just speaks volumes to how he's kind of the only one that's nailed on to start. Kind of shows that Farrell isn't nailed on to start, and neither is, I mean, Ken Owens took over as captain when Alan Wynne went off, but he's so competitive. But I have no problem with it just because he's been on three tours. He's got like 90 Ireland caps.
Yeah.
And there isn't really another outstanding option. And I think a bigger point is that I don't think Gatlin wants to put more pressure on the England players, because of how they performed in the Six Nations and how they've been playing the Championship. So I was reading, Gatland said in his press conference last week that like the players voted on a leadership group, and Owen Farrell had the most votes. And Gatland's incredibly coy about what he says to the media and what he doesn't say. And I think that was essentially just him, you know, bigging Farrell up, but taking the pressure off of him at that specific moment in time, because, and the English media are pretty ruthless, as are Welsh, Irish media, but the English media have high expectations. So they can be pretty ruthless. And, you know, I think when it comes to the tests, anyone could be captain. I don't know if Conor Murray will be, because I think Gatland will want a forward. But
yeah,
I think it's more of a, definitely more of a, you know, ceremonial role at this moment in time than anything else. But yeah, what do you think about
it? Yeah, I mean, it's obviously not great to see what Halloween Jones is now injured, and Tipperick both off the tour, which it's kind of, it's sad because they are great players. I like Josh Naidi that's come in, but I honestly I don't know why Adam Beard is being called up. He's not a Lions player in my opinion. I mean, when you have like someone like Johnny Gray playing in the Premiership final and scoring, I just think why he's an obvious choice. Or even like Ryan for Ireland, I'd bring him in. But yeah, Josh Naidi, I understand.
Ryan's injured. Ryan's injured, so that's why he wasn't called up. Sam Underhill also injured, so that's why he wasn't called up. And I think Johnny Gray, I'm with you, but I think Adam Beard, I think they're going for someone who is going to call lineouts, and I don't think Johnny Gray does that. And physically, Adam Beard is the biggest lock in Britain because he's 6'9".
I bet he's not that good.
I think they just have a specific game. Well, how do you know? How much Wales? I've watched him for Wales the last 2 years.
He's not
player.
I guarantee
he's pretty good. He's won a Grand Slam and a championship, so.
He's not playing at any of the tests, guaranteed.
No, I don't think he's a test lion, but I don't think it's fair that you just write him off when you don't watch him play week in, week out, whereas a lot of people do.
Yeah, well, I'm sticking to that. I think he's pony, so I'm not convinced that he's gonna bring much to it when we got, you know, Courtney Laws, Atoji, Henderson, Tagburn can play there as well. I think it's gonna be tough for him to make an appearance, really, I think. But
We'll definitely make an appearance, but just not in the tests. Gatland will give everyone a start.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't think he's a test lion for sure, but I understand why he's there. I think they have a specific role for him, which is more defence, tackles and line-out calling. And I think Johnny Gray is more workhorse. He's more make your tackles and hit rucks, whereas I think they have a totally different game plan. And Adam Beard fits into that better because of the roles he can fulfil. I think the thing with Adam Beard as well, you say that, but last autumn he was dropped for Wales and Pivac said to him, you need to work on this, 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 and you'll be picked again. He did that. He then played exceptionally well for the Ospreys, got recalled into the Six Nations squad, and he was immense the whole tour. We won the Six Nations. So I just don't think it's fair that you say that because, you know, he won it in 2 years. He's won Grand Slam, 7 World Cup semi-finalists, and a championship, and was dropped last year, told he needs to do better, did better, then got called up. But I do agree with you, though. I think if James Ryan was fit, he would be there. If Johnny Gray, I just think they have a game plan that they need. I think Alan Wynn fitted the game plan. I think the next in line, I think they basically have all 38 players on a list, right? And then next to their names, they have the replacement names, as in, you know, if Bundiaki gets injured, you're going to call up a powerful centre, aka, you know, a Tuilagi or, I don't know, Johnny Williams or the next powerful one. You're not going to call up, you know, Henry Slade. Because
it seems a little bit like all the replacements for anyone get injured might maybe of the Welsh.
Because we won the Six Nations and we're the most informed team. So,
yeah, but it's just, I mean, this is all I'm going to say. Like, people will be saying, or no matter if it's true or not.
You don't think Navidi deserves to be there?
I mean, Josh Navidi, I kind of understand. He's a good ball carrier. Again, I don't think he'll be a test player.
I don't know. I think he has every chance to be. I think he was meant.
But it's what people will think.
I think, well, the fact he covers 6, 7, 8.
It was when we played New Zealand, and I know you say the reasons for it, and I don't want to get into the discussion, but it's what people say is, like, you know, he's just bringing Welsh players in. And to be fair, those Welsh players they did bring in the New Zealand tour, I mean, they weren't even good for their clubs. So I don't know why they got on the Lions, but that's by the by. So people were just
played.
Saying there will be...
None of them played.
Yeah, no, but it's like, you know, you could have brought
but
in
none of them
players.
Played.
Anyway, that's what people think. So, they will think that maybe there's some sort of favouritism. And, you know, with a player like Adam Beard, you know, you just admitted he's not going to be playing in the tests. So, I mean, well, it's a bit of a weird...
Yeah, I don't think he will be. I don't think Johnny Hill will be playing in a test either.
I don't think. If you ask it, I think you did a poll though of who do you think is better.
Playing.
I think most people say Johnny Gray.
But define better. Better for what? Around the park, Johnny Gray all day, every day. In the line out defense and line outs, I'd say Adam Beard. There we go.
No, we'll agree to disagree on that. But anyway, moving on. So they've been picked up. So they're going. I think there was a bit of concern actually with South Africa because there's been some COVID cases. But I've just been looking and hopefully there's resumed training. So hopefully there's... And Razzie said that there's not going to be any disruptions to the Lions tour, which is good to hear. There was a little bit. I think just before they got on the plane, I was like, oh, for God's sake, here we go. It's going to be cancelled to COVID. But hopefully it looks like it's still going to go ahead, which is the main thing. But I think they would be in South Africa now, I believe, the Lions, or they're nearly there.
Yeah, they're there now.
So, yeah, that's going to be good. I can't wait to see the first game. I wonder what sort of team they're going to go. Maybe a similar one that played Japan, because it was a good... I mean, Japan, you know, they're big hitters. They do, like, you know, they can throw their weight around, and they've got some great players. And it was a physical game, which I think, you know, obviously you've seen like two major injuries so because of it. So I think it's going to be interesting to see what they kind of their game plan is, because they're going to be probably facing bit more physical teams in some of the provincial South African teams, definitely. They're obviously known for their big scrums, big mauls, so it's definitely going to be a physical battle. So I'm going to be interested to see what's like the kind of next game is going to go for. Centre partnerships, is he going to change that? Is he going to put...
Nah, I think it'll be a completely different team. I think the first three games will be three different teams because they want to play everyone. So I'd expect all the Saris boys to start.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a few of the extra lads, but I don't know, because, you know, played Saturday, flew to South Africa yesterday. But yeah, I think it'll definitely be a different team. You know, I'd expect like Mako, George, probably Sinclair, and then it'll be interesting. I don't know how... I don't think they'll play many of the extra lads, but I think they'll all be on the bench for sure.
What do you think of Stuart Hogg's chances of signing at fullback now? Because obviously the last two games he's been on the bench. So do you think Liam Williams...
I think it's pretty good. I think it was a mistake to put him on the bench yesterday, to be honest. I think they should have started him, because O'Flaherty and Cuthbert both were not great. Cuthbert got caught out a few times, so did O'Flaherty.
Yeah, Cuthbert
I don't think it changes... I don't think it changes his chances at all. I think he's a better fullback than Liam Williams is. So, and Liam Williams, he was all right on Saturday, but he hasn't played a lot of games, whereas Hogg's boot as well. Because I don't think Fowler will start. If the test is tomorrow, I don't think Fowler starts. I think Fowler's on the bench. And I think that if you have Bigger 10 and Hogg at 15, you've got two big kicking options and essentially two playmakers at 10 and 15. And then I would guess that they would go then Aki Henshaw on two wingers. So I think that would boost Hogg's chance, because I think if Liam Williams is going to start 15, you probably want bigger Farrell 10-12. But I think Hogg still, as long as he performs well, will start 15. Because, yeah, I think Liam Williams probably has a better chance starting on the wing, because it was a weird game yesterday, on Saturday. It was like, well, if you go through the team, front row were good. Furlong was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Courtney Laws and Ian Henderson were both sublime. Tad Byrne was pretty good, but he was forcing it a bit. Conan was pretty good. Faletau came on early. He was good. Made all his tackles. Mm-hmm. Conor Murray, Dan Bigger. Well, like, Bigger got man of the match. Bigger was one of the best performances I've seen from him. Conor Murray, the same. He was really good. Van der Merwe's like, he's good going forward, but his defence is sus, and under a high ball, he's sus, but he's just so big. Like, I can't even believe how big he is. It's insane. Like,
it's like, so I knew quick he was big, as well.
But like, when you see him a line shot, you're like, fucking hell, he's massive, yeah. Mm. And yeah, Aki was decent. You know what you're getting with him. Henshaw was unbelievable. He was so good. Yeah, Adams was pretty good. And yeah, Liam Williams was all right. So, but you know, there are so many players we still need to see. I think we'll need to see, what will it be? I think it'll be next Saturday. So you've got this Saturday, they're playing the Lions. Next Wednesday, they have a game. Then next Saturday, they have a game. Will it be next week's podcast? The podcast in 2 weeks' time, mm-hmm. will have a way better play. And then I'm guessing the next game, they'll then put out what they think to be will be the starting 15 for the test.
Yeah.
But it's all to play for. I think at the moment, the only people who are nailed on are Furlong, Henshaw, and that's probably it. I mean, I would say Curry is probably nailed on at 7 now. The chip roots out.
Mm.
But, you know, I haven't seen him play. So I would say Bigger's probably nailed on at 10 and Murray nailed on at 9. But again, like, Farrell might just have an unbelievable game. And Finn Russell as well. I still don't think Finn Russell will play, but you never know. I think it's still early doors, but they played some nice stuff yesterday. The defence was decent. It was a game two halves, so they dropped the ball a bit in the second half. They were really clinical and on it first half, mm-hmm. and then second half they lost it a bit. There was a notable difference when Conor Murray went off and Ali Price came on. But yeah, the special mention to Carl Sinclair as well. He was sublime when he came on. I think he played half an hour and made like 15 tackles. Which is more than... I think the only person who made more tackles was Faletau, and Faletau played 60 minutes. So he was, and like, they were hard tackles as well. He was mint. But yeah, it's a perfect start, really, apart from, you know, your captain and Tips getting injured. But
yeah, I mean, there were some people that said they wouldn't even start.
No, it's good game. Jones,
so, I mean, there will be people that will be glad that he's not playing, because they think he's, you know, he's like the right person. But I thought he would start. I do like him.
Yeah, but whether he's playing or not, his presence on the tour.
Yeah,
I don't think his playing ability is what's missed. I think it's his leadership off the pitch, because you can't. No one else even has anything near that. I don't think. No other player in that team went on the last Lions tour South Africa. You know, none of them mm-hmm. know what it's like to tour South Africa. None of them have anywhere near as international caps as he has. So yeah, I don't even think it's his playing ability that they're going to miss. It's his just his presence and his leadership skills.
I think someone like Farrell could maybe have a have an influence like that, because I think he's. I've heard from. I was watching a video actually yesterday with Adam Jones. He went like to an England training session. Don't know how he wangled that one, but he was there, and he couldn't believe like how competitive Farrow was, and everyone, like even if someone made a mistake, he was on them, and like, you know, sometimes it would be a stare, or he'd just be like laying into them and seeing like, you know, it's not good enough and stuff. And I think he does drive standards. And I think he had a really good tour in New Zealand. Definitely helped us win the second game. And some really important kicks. I don't know, I think they've got good leaders in there that have done it before. So I think they'll be fine for leadership. I think
they'll be okay, but I don't think you can understate the loss. I mean,
I do want to see a forward. I think a forward should be captain, to be honest.
I think the most insane thing to me is that out of all the home nations, there are no forwards apart from Alwyn Jones who captain their club or country. That I find that mind-boggling. I can't believe that. You know, I would have thought like maybe Jamie George, captain material, you know, someone like Ian Henderson, he captains Ulster now and again, But yeah, I'm with you. I think you've got a leadership group there, really, of, you know, all 10s, all 9s. Then you've got guys probably like, you know, Liam Williams. Oh, sorry, not Liam Williams. Stuart Hogg, you know, Tad Furlong, Ken Owens, all hookers are in there. You know, Ian Henderson in there. Probably a Tom Curry in there as well. So,
yeah. Toji as well, I think.
Exactly, yeah, Toji. So, yeah. But, yeah, I need to wrap it up, mate, because there are people here looking at my house. Oh, so,
very nice.
Yeah, sorry, mate. I need to get dressed and tidy the room quickly.
You are bare-chested at the moment, so you're probably going to get a shirt on. But, yeah, I've got to make, like, a banana and split as well. So, but, yeah, good to talk. Great.
Yeah, definitely.
Great day.
Just a quick one today, not a week. Definitely all out life. But, yeah, come on, you coin, Champions of England.
Yeah, we're the best in the world.
Exactly.
All right. All right. See you, mate.
See you, everyone. Take care.
Bye.